Do we need to? I think we have some introductions to make. Julia, would you please like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. I'm Julia or Julia Barrientos. I go by either one. Julia, I kind of prefer.
My birth name is Julia, so that's weird, I know. I've been working for 20 years, mostly with the Latino community since my return from building schools in El Salvador in 1994. And I've been involved in a lot of exciting startups. I am a diehard believer in dual immersion and dual language immersion and how it works and the importance of it and the meaning of it, and a very strong and passionate advocate for our Latino community and for bridge making within all of our communities. Most recently, I'm coming from working with Foundation Escalera, building schools on the Guatemalan border, Chiapas, the border with Guatemala, which turned out to be a whole lot of travel for me and didn't work out so great for that reason and other reasons. So I'm really excited to be here. I was the founding director of Dual Immersion Academy, which I know has had a whole lot of problems and a long history. What I can say about that is I have learned a lot from that. I learned a lot from that experience and from watching them since. It hurts me to watch them struggle so, but I know I have a lot to contribute here from having watched some of those stumbling blocks. And I'm really excited to be here. It looks like a wonderful team, and it's a great, great school.
Okay, is there anyone here you don't know?
I tried to meet each person as we were walking around, so I think I have met everyone at this point.
Does everyone know the role that Julia is going to play in the school? Is there anyone who doesn't know?
I didn't mention that.
Oh, yeah, please elaborate.
Vice Principal and Community Liaison. So I'll be running the after-school program, developing a community learning center. We'll probably apply for the March deadline. I looked it up today for the 21st Century Community Learning Center, so we can do adult education as well as after school programming and classes, Spanish classes for parents and English classes for parents and
citizenship classes.
Mm-hmm. We can get ENEA involved. The Secretaría de Educación Pública pays for high school diplomas for adults, and then a whole myriad of programs to enhance music and access to music and sports education.
So every student will get 30 minutes a week of instruction in writing. Mm-hmm. And those that show promise, we're going to do an after-school mariachi band. And we have a couple of people in the community that will come in and instruct kids on the violin, the guitar, the trumpet, and the bass guitar. So that's kind of the vision of having a full ensemble. And then choir, folklore dancing, and some other things that we're looking at, including the chess club. We definitely want to promote that as well.
So I'm looking forward to making that a vibrant part of the school and keeping this beautiful building occupied into the evening hours and doing as much as it can for the community.
That's wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you.
We've already begun our status report with our lovely tour of the building, or our facility status report, but Jeff, go ahead and continue.
I think that's about it. Any of the comments I had, I said prior, so unless there's any questions on it, I think my part only took 45 minutes. So.
Okay. Now I'd like to turn the time over to our director. Go ahead.
We have been very busy. We have 464 students on the intent to enroll list, and we have 300 in the bag, as Steve put it this morning. They have registered, we've got all their documents, they're in the filing cabinet, 301 students as of right now. We had 297 when Crystal went home, and then four that came in after she went, and so we're at 301. We need 89 more students to be where we need to be. And we're getting, what, 5 or 6 a day, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, sometimes a few less, but we will be at 390 on the first day of school. There's no doubt. Because we have 150 more kids that are on the list, and we brought in a teacher to come in and help us go to their homes. And he's got a motorcycle, so he's going to be starting tomorrow. He's going to be out knocking on doors, giving them a flyer if they're not there. And so that's kind of his job for the next 2 to 3 weeks, making sure that every student knows we are full in kinder. We have 50 more kids waiting to come in to kinder if we wanted them. Fifth grade, we are now at 31 that are registered and ready to go. 26 graders. So those two classes were full. The reason we keep enrolling the fifth graders is because we may do a fourth, fifth split. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do it. We would rather have a fifth grade, another fifth grade class, and we can do that. But we may end up having to do a fourth, fifth, because the fourth is a little bit low in numbers. We have two classes, and we have about 41 kids. And so we may do a fourth, fifth split with just a few fifth graders, and then mostly fourth graders. And so we feel good about the numbers that we have. Any questions about the registrations? I think Mike was very happy when I met with him a couple of times now that
he's ecstatic.
He was very happy that the numbers are there.
And how will we recruit the remaining students?
We were on the TV again Friday, and you got a bunch of calls Saturday.
Okay,
but a lot of kinder kids that are still wanting to come. And so they're working on returning phone calls. Because
mm-hmm.
anytime we're on the air, we have 20, 30 new people that are on board.
What do we tell the kids that we don't have room for?
We tell them that they can be on the waiting list in case there's any openings, and they still complete the intent to enroll on the computer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
There will be movement in the first month.
Right.
So there's probably
we expect,
for those kids.
I guess historically they've had a number of kids that the first week they come in they don't like what they see, so they go someplace else. So we
that
expect
won't happen.
Some of it. We
they'll
hope
love
not.
What they see.
Yeah, we hope that doesn't happen, but we'll be prepared. We will over enroll by 20 kids maybe. To have 420, 425. That's why at the fifth grade we keep enrolling even though we're full. Because we expect kids to transition out if they're not.
Even if it's not their choice, even
right.
if it's just a family move
right.
or something.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, and by October 1st is
yeah.
the magic day.
Right.
We expect to have 400 and plus, so in case the day before we have some drops, we don't have to go out and get new ones.
And how many fifth graders do we have?
31 as of right now. There were 30 when you went home. There was one more that came in today. So.
In a perfect world, how many would we get?
In a perfect world, if they stay 25, that's what we plan for. But so we will have a fourth, fifth split because the fourth grade is a little bit low. Anything else about the numbers? How are we going to recruit the rest of them? We have 150 names.
Are so they in the right grades though?
No, not all, but we do have enough in the right grades to have 390.
Okay. Great.
Okay, so we have. If we were able to get every kid on the waiting list in the right grades, they're there. We just need to get them to come in and complete
mm-hmm.
the registration process.
Yeah. Wonderful.
The other thing you may be interested in, the curriculum. We've selected the curriculum. It's in math is going to be Bridges in Mathematics. We are in the process of acquiring the software, and we've scheduled the training for the 18th and the 19th, full day training for math, Bridges in Mathematics, and then reading A through Z will be the literacy component. And that's very inexpensive. I was so surprised to see the cost. Both of those programs were recommended highly by Cody and
Susie
Ramos. And there was one other person. Oh, you came to the meeting.
Yeah.
Janet was in. And so we're set to go with those two pieces. Steve, do you want me to talk about the meeting? We want to wait for that this morning. or anything about the meeting?
I think you want to like maybe give an overview of
overview,
it.
Overview. Yeah.
Probably.
We talked about resources with the state office this morning. Unfortunately, there aren't too many for a 90-10 school, and so we'll be briefing all of you on some of the things that we talked about with the state office. They're putting a lot on the table for us to transition to 50-50, and there are thousands of dollars that they're offering in resources and all kinds of stuff. It's yeah, but at this point we're sticking to the decision that was made before. I think I don't know if that's what the impression I left them with, right?
Yeah.
And so we haven't.
I think what we said to them was, you know, we'll talk with people on our board. I mean, made it clear that
mm-hmm.
this was a decision that we didn't make lightly
yeah.
a couple of years ago, because we had this other conversation with the same folks. But the board, you know, reviewed it all. We all decided that we felt that the 90-10 was the best educational model, and we wanted to use it. There really was a lot of pressure.
There were. They almost had a check on our hand for $10,000. I'm not kidding.
Goodness.
Yeah, this is what we have for you, and they offer all kinds of stuff. I walked out of there thinking, wow, they really, really want the schools to go the other way. So I made it clear that that's not.
Because they're so committed to their 50-50, and it's so important to the people, the person that developed all this.
To Greg.
To Greg Roberts, they watch Dia, and they watch Dia, and they don't feel like Dia is being successful, and they'll be watching us.
And
now,
they,
one thing to remember about Dia, though, is Dia didn't start in 90-10. Part of Dia's problems was changing model.
Yeah, and we didn't.
Midstream.
I didn't want to get into that conversation with them about Dia. I mean, they really talk negatively.
I'm sure.
To the point where it concerned me. I don't want to be in their subject of the conversation a year or 2 years from now. It was very, very extremely negative. And so we you know, if we choose to go forward, we have to be successful.
What's Greg's position right now?
World language, right?
He's the head of the
foreign languages.
Dual immersion
language programs around the state.
And that's one of the things. They have a foreign language approach because he's the director of foreign language. And one of the things that they're doing with the state dual language model is that they are very foreign language focused. Now, we are not that foreign language focused. We are, because we will have a native English speaking students learning Spanish and Spanish monolingual students learning English. But they're only focusing on English monolingual students learning Spanish, period.
Mm.
Now, we're also committed to the Spanish-speaking population. They're not. I mean, I've worked with them, I know them, I research in dual language, mm. and they are very focused on one group of students, and they overlook the needs of Spanish monolingual students. So that's something that we also need to consider. Their professional development, their promotional materials, everything points to in that direction.
Is Greg anywhere near retirement?
So,
no, and typically in that office, they end up having to move out, not retire out.
They'll move them to somewhere else.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work out from there. I think it's really important to remember that dual language has sometimes been used, this is a harsh term, but I'm going to say it, to teach Spanish or teach Chinese or teach whatever language to white monolingual English children on the backs of their minority counterparts. And that is the focus, in my opinion, of work when they're looking at it as a foreign language tool.
Mm-hmm.
They're
That's
looking
they're
at using the 50-50 model and using, and the point being to teach monolingual. And I think you have to keep both communities.
And just so you know, my position was from the beginning that I came to this school because of the invitational theory,
mm-hmm.
not because of the model.
Mm-hmm.
I am committed to the invitational theory. If relationships will move mountains, and there's no doubt in my mind that we can make the 90-10 work, and there's no doubt in my mind that I can make a 50-50 work. Relationships are primary the model is secondary, and I made that clear to them more than once.
Okay. Quite elegant. Yeah, I'm glad because that's some of the things that they're using. They're using in the 50-50 model. They have a lot of one-way, which is only for English-speaking students, but when they have a two-way for Spanish, English, and English-speaking, they basically are using Spanish-speaking students. So let me say the other way around. They are focused on English monolingual students learning Spanish at the expense of the Spanish-speaking students not learning real English. They're not focused on English at all for the Spanish-speaking students, and they're not focused on Spanish as a heritage language. It's this. Let's use these kids for our kids to learn Spanish. So that's not what we want to do.
We left them with the impression that we were sticking to the decision of the board. I told them I was hired to implement the 90-10, and we would implement the 90-10 to the best of our ability. So that's what.
So when they assess us in 2, 3, 4 years, how do you measure success or failure? How will they measure success or failure of our
standardized
tests?
Standardized tests.
That they're in English only.
And only in English.
Yeah.
It's not really fair, but that's how they're doing it.
I think the school can be prepared, though, with other forms of assessment from the very beginning that show growth areas that are not demonstrated, and also be backed up by all the evidence from the Center for Applied Linguistics that has over 40 years of research in this area and absolutely endorses 90-10 over 50-50. Yeah. If you look at the national perspective, this idea that 50-50 better is a strange apparition that's happening in Utah. It's not considered truth anymore.
We just need to be aware, and we need to be prepared.
Yeah.
Because I left a little concerned because of how they demonized DIA. And I don't want to be demonized publicly in front of other people. So we have no choice but to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. One other thing that I wanted to bring up, I apologize when it sounds negative, but we have to be aware. Faculty, that's the other thing that concerned me a little bit, but not anymore, because today we interviewed several teachers, but two that we're going to hire. So we are on the right track. We have three kinder teachers identified out of three. We're good. We have two out of the three first graders, two. And one second grader, one third grader. I do not have fourth grade teachers yet. I need two. And then I have the fifth and sixth grade. And then the two that I selected today, we haven't identified which grade they want. So really, I need five teachers, but I've got two more. And then a third one that hasn't decided yet. I've offered him a job about a month and a half ago. He was gone for a month to Peru. He's back. He came in, picked up the documents, and he's looking at the position. So he'll make a decision. He said by today. I haven't heard from him yet. So really, we only need two more teachers. That's where we are. And we have 3 weeks to do so, at least, to find them. We've interviewed several staff assistants. We will not have a problem with staff assistants. We have an abundance of applicants. Mm-hmm. Very qualified applicants, and that's where the problem is. We have really good people.
We
need five, and we have about 14 applicants that are fully qualified, fully bilingual, and so I think I'm considering giving them a Spanish test to make sure that they're literate.
Mm-hmm.
They appear literate, they can communicate in Spanish, but I just don't know what other way to pick them.
Like if they wrote a paragraph or something. Right?
I've got a test that was developed by a professor at Weaver State that I can assess, and I've shared it with Steve. It's fairly difficult. So
can you do also? Can they be HQ paraprofessionals? Do you have the criteria for that?
I will look at the criteria to
just because
sure.
It will help with the title funding.
Right. So yes. There are a few things that we need to look into.
If you're having a hard time picking amongst many good ones, I'd say that would be a good way to pick.
Does HQ para, it has to have a bachelor's degree?
No, they have to have an associate's degree. You have to, if you end up being a Title I school, which is a good guess, I'd say here, every single paraprofessional has to be HQ,
right.
Or you get in some rough areas.
That's good to know.
Yeah. We have a number of foreign applicants that we put on the bench for now. If we need them, we will get them. I've got some from Spain, two from Ecuador, two from Mexico. So I've got plenty of applicants that we haven't considered because we want fully biliterate, fully bilingual, and local people too from the state. I wish I could get them from West Valley. But
the reservation is longevity, permanence?
No, it's the fact that they will not be fully fluent in English. And so we want biliterate and virtual thing.
But don't forget,
we're fully aware.
So if we need to go there, it's
not a
bad
problem
thing.
And we're willing to go there if we need to. And like I said, I've got two here that are ready to go. I just need to call them. And three more that we've interviewed them on Skype, and we're willing to hire them. If we need to, we'll go there. So, but if not,
I think the community would appreciate your hiring local first attitude.
Yeah, we're waiting, so
good.
We have time.
It doesn't scare me at all.
No,
it's been such a great thing.
Yes, and I've seen other excellent examples.
And just being at the U for so long and seeing so many foreign students come in, it's amazing how someone really intelligent can pick up language. So
well, it's because they're so literate in their first language that it's easy to pick up a second language. So yeah, we're
transferable.
We're,
if only
yes.
Greg understood that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Are you recording the meeting?
It's all right.
We won't share with them. But
proudly.
Well, yeah, that's right. It could be somebody else. Anything else that you want to hear about? We have a lot of visitors coming, stopping by just because of the building.
Mm.
And we've had parents that have come in and said, how do I get into this school?
Yep.
We had one today just before you guys came. I was over there in the hot place. And a parent stopped and he says, do you still have room? What grade? First. Oh. Yes, I gave him an application. And so, and just because they saw the building.
Yeah.
So,
get some spotlights on it.
that'll be a huge
nice
draw.
Oh, yeah.
So gorgeous.
So if you have other questions, I'd be more than happy to respond.
How are we doing with the number of Spanish-speaking and English-speaking students?
That is a little bit of a concern.
Okay.
We have a lot. Well, I don't know if it's a concern. I wanted more 50-50.
Okay.
It's about 80 Spanish people.
And
now,
that's fine. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. They're Latinos. They're not monolingual Spanish.
They're bilingual. It's a lot of
them. They're bilingual. 276 are bilingual of the 464.
Wow.
And the number of monolingual Spanish is in the 20s. It's very, very low.
So I think, that's what I thought is funny if it's 80 because I knew that they're not Spanish monolingual. They're coming from other schools, a lot of them already.
Yeah.
They're not coming from home, from not being school. They're coming from other schools that are English only, so they're bilingual already. So
yeah.
I was just curious, but I'm not concerned.
Yeah.
That'll generate a lot of Title III funds.
I'm excited about that because I don't think anybody really knows what the children are doing with language in West Valley because they're only monolingual English speaking. So until this opens up, we're not. You're going to be the first ones who are going to discover what is really happening with children in this area.
Yeah. Other questions, comments?
I know. Okay, I didn't have my glasses on. I was so anxious to hear from Eulogio that I skipped over our financial report. So let's go back and pick up there. Go ahead.
No worries.
Okay, good.
So I only have 10 copies, which in my mind was plenty. But so we really just need to kind of share.
I printed my own. I'm good.
This is our email.
I
reviewed it.
So who needs one?
I would like a copy.
Probably
easier. I like a copy.
Just so you know, my suite with Word and all those crashed yesterday, and so I can't pull anything up now. And it crashed on Steve a week ago, and he was able to reboot very quickly. I haven't been able to, so that's why I don't have mine.
I've got one.
Okay. So who feels pretty comfortable in looking at this and understanding each of the components? Because I think one of the things we can do as we start to do this each month is really train and and help you understand how to read this and make sense of it. So if I do a little orientation, does that sound good for us?
Yeah.
That would be helpful. Kind of back up a little here. So what this first page is it's kind of a dashboard, or we call it a report card for the school. How are we doing financially? And there are some key things on here. So the three pages behind are the detail that make up this summary in the top left corner. So the top left corner, basically you have your different categories of revenues and then expenses below. So the revenues include local, which means, you know, donations and fees and parent, you know, lunch money, all that kind of stuff. And then you have state, and then you have federal money. So those are the three types of revenue. And then down below, you have your different categories of expenses, all the way from salaries to benefits to, you know, contracted work to supplies, equipment, etc. And so each of these, for the state, it's important to keep them in the right categories and organized as they should be. So one really important thing to pay attention to is in the very top bar, the dark brown, you see that this is as of June 30th, and so we're 100% through FY14. So as we go into, as we look at the July 31st next month, we're going to be, you know, 1/12th through the year, whatever that percentage is. Yeah, you think about that for a minute.
8.6%.
There you go. So... Don't check.
I'm checking right
now. You can't resist.
Only because I'm going to toot my own horn.
So what you can do is you can compare, see where the yellow and green is?
Mm-hmm.
That is a percentage that
close.
You have what you've spent compared with the budget. So, or that's for expenses. For income, it's what you brought in compared with your budget. So if you budget to have $1,000 and you bring in $3,000, that's actually going to be 300%. Or if you bring in, you know, $500, that's 50%. And so you, as you look at the detail, which we probably won't do a lot of today, but we'll do that more in the future, then you can say, okay, it's 50% through the year, and we've spent 60% on office supplies. Is that okay? Because it sounds like we're ahead. We spent too much already. But then you might think, well, at the beginning of the year, you have to stock up, and so, you know, we're okay, we're on track, and it helps you to think those things through. So, moving to the left, to the right here, you have this pie chart that shows just expenses broken down by those categories. So salaries will always be the biggest one, and next is probably, you know, facility cost, so and so forth. Down below that, you can see by month. The blue line is revenue, and the red line is expenses. So revenue compared with expenses, and you'll be able to see how that trends over time. If you move to the right, you see these key ratios. These are important because it's kind of a way to see, you know, how are we doing on really key things that not only are important to us, but are also important to the future ability to buy the building or get financing and those sorts of things. So the operating margin, if our goal is 5%, 4% is just under that, it's close, but each year we'll have a goal. Debt service coverage is how much debt do you have, and what is your ability to pay that debt, and for how long? And so it's a ratio that helps us to monitor that. Days cash on hand. So we have, if your goal is to have 90 days cash on hand, it takes time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To expect to have that even in year one is unrealistic. And so, but over time, we're building up, and so that we have the ability, if money gets turned off, which in this case is very unlikely to operate for a time. I can't even think of why that would happen. But anyway, it's important. And then the last one is the billing payment. What percentage is the billing payment of your expenses? 20% is where we want to be. That's good. Some schools are higher, some are lower. But anyway. So moving down here, and I'll go through these pretty quickly. This one that says cash up above it is basically you can see the high and the low each month for cash in the bank. And so at some point throughout the month, you're going to hit your low point of actual cash in the bank. And at some point, you're going to hit your high point. Usually the high point is right after you get your allotment. The low point is right before, you know. But this allows us to kind of see how those trend. This middle one is showing us our reserves. So how much money do we have in reserves? Not necessarily that we would spend or include in our all of it in our operating budget, but we can talk more about that. And then the last one is really important as well. That's enrollment. So it allows us to see what is our enrollment by month. Is it trending down, or is it staying consistent? You know, whatever that may be, it shows that, because that is definitely a result that comes from doing things well or not, and so we want to monitor that closely. So any questions on that? Was that kind of a fire hose? A little bit? So go ahead and review these, and we'll continue to talk in more detail and, each month as we look at this.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead with our action items now. The first is regarding the Generación Floreciente loan, and I know Steve was doing some research on that. And
well, we've mentioned this before, we've talked about this before, that over the last 4 years, the Esperanza startup effort, before we began to get our startup money, or actually money from the state, we have used money from Generación Floreciente, how did I do it? And as a loan. And I think those are really Barbara's personal funds that were in that account from a long time ago. And so she gladly contributed those to the expenses we had over the 4 years. So we've racked up, I think it's about $6,000 now. She emailed us a while back. We mentioned it at another board meeting, that she would like to be repaid for those funds to be replenished, and that she would get those funds back. So we got another email on July 9th asking the same thing. So Jenna talked to her, and I think yes, it's our intention to do that. I'd like to build it into this year's budget, about $6,000, and see if we can make that happen before the year's over. You want to talk about your conversation with her?
Yeah, mostly her concern was board members come and go, and they change, and she just didn't want it to go into a black hole and be forgotten. She's not in a big hurry, just as long as it's out there and we're all aware of it. So she understands that first year is a difficult time. We kind of are scraping to get everything funded. So it's just kind of keeping it out there so it's not forgotten.
So is there a response that we need to make in a more official way, saying yes?
Maybe write a letter or something? So
yeah,
she has this letter.
What would you recommend?
Well, I think one of the other things, too, was the fact that the account in all is just sitting there with about $3,000 just sitting in it. She would actually like to see that account get closed with the loan still out there. She could be given that $3,000 that's just sitting there doing nothing. And then we just somehow arrange then for the loan to be repaid as soon as it's possible. So
I guess we could close that account.
I have a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
Kind of hoping for the best to be prepared for the worst. None of us want this to turn ugly. And certainly,
probably shouldn't as well. But have we acknowledged that yet, in writing or orally, that that's an obligation that we intend to fulfill, or rather, we're just indicating to her that we're going to pay that back? Have we acknowledged it as an obligation on our part?
I'm not sure if it's written anywhere.
But not in writing.
Okay. So my feeling is that it would be a mistake for us to acknowledge that we're going to repay the whole amount, because that's tantamount to an acknowledgement that it's an obligation that we have. A better position, I think, would be for us to decide if and when and how we're going to pay it. If we want to pay that in one lump sum, or if we want to pay it in increments of $500 over a year, or maybe less or more than that, whatever the amount is, my feeling would be that we determine how, if, when, and how we're going to pay it, and then we tell her that in a nice way, but nevertheless, kind of in a firm way, that without acknowledging any obligation, we budgeted some funds to equal such an amount by the end of the period, $6,000, whatever it is, stopping short of acknowledging the obligation. And then we get an indication from her, an email will suffice, indicating that when the $6,000 is all transferred, if we do that, she will send us a letter, and we can help prepare the letter saying that we're released from any claim to any additional funds. So what we don't want, that gives us the best of both worlds, and because we want to protect Barbara, it gives us the opportunity to protect her and return those money without getting ourselves in a pinch, heaven forbid, the relationship goes sour. So I'm rambling, but long story short is, let's figure out if when and how we want to pay it. And then let me prepare an email and send it to you. You can forward it on to hers.
Okay.
That sounds good. And I think we are in the process of, as we make these initial capital purchases, talking with Marlon, Zion's bank line of credit. We've just today got the notice that revolving loan fund is now open, so we can submit that. But we found out we won't get those funds until October. We don't know how much it'll be. So I don't think I want to decide yet when.
Exactly when. Yeah.
But it's on the radar. If that all worked out and we had enough money to do all the things we wanted and we could spare $6,000, we'll know that in a month.
Okay.
And then we can decide how we want to do that. But
let's just sit on it then until we're at that point of you giving us a recommendation about when.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
I'm sorry, because that's not my business, but did you say there's 3,000 of the 6,000 just sitting there?
No, 3,000 of 9,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's money that's been loaned out, and then a sum of about 3,000 that's just dormant sitting in an account. So she was wondering about accessing that money, maybe closing the account, but I don't know if we can, if that's a really good
that's
idea.
That's another
to
question.
Close the account.
Why we want to close the account? What kind of account is that?
It's her nonprofit, Generación Floreciente.
But we're going to need that account open, right, in the future?
Well, there's three. We have three bank accounts. One is the original Generación account,
right.
And then we open two additional accounts: a money market Esperanza and a regular checking Esperanza, which are under the umbrella of Generación. So, actually, those aren't Barbara's accounts, because Barbara's no longer a signer, so she's not part of the corporation. So, I don't see any problem with whatever monies there are in the Generación account to write her a check for those funds. But then the question is, that's a nonprofit. And we're the board of that nonprofit, so can we do that? I mean, how?
I think, as I understand it,
those are her personal funds that she put in that account to do Generación stuff, and then Generación decided to operate this school. So are we able, is this board able to say, yes, there's $3,000 in an account, let's write a check personally to Barbara and give that to her?
Does Generación Floreciente tiene, do they have another board?
This is the board
at this point. Okay.
This is the board. We decided to stay.
I get it.
I don't see anything that would restrict us from making a board decision to relinquish those funds to her. She's made a request, and if nothing else, I think there are all kinds of other justifications for sending her a check.
And she's probably needed, so that's why she's probably asking for it.
Well, the reason, the way we justify, we've got a fiduciary duty to this organization, to the nonprofit, and we need to be able to justify why we're giving money to her if we're not legally obligated to do so. She's asked for it. She's told us that she thinks she's entitled to it. And we may decide in our good discretion that we don't want to trigger a legal fight. Let's just give it to her and avoid the risk of a legal fight. And the more important reason is because we think, at the end of the day, for all intents and purposes, those funds, really she's entitled to. But that would be hard to explain to state board, for example, if they were questioning why our organization willy-nilly wrote a check to some friend of ours. And the reason why we're doing is because we want to avoid a potential legal fight that would impair, among other things, you put us in a bad spotlight at the beginning of our history. That's an easy justification.
So this is an action item. I motion to give it back to her. Is that something that we need to do now, or?
The only question I have about that is there a rule about how low you can take that account?
Without incurring fees?
No, it should be free. And no any minimum balance in there. I can check tomorrow.
Okay. Because
do we need the account?
I was just going to say that. If you take it down to zero, does that make the account go away? And
no,
does
you
it
have
cause
for
problems?
30 days, so you have to keep at least like a penny in there.
So we can $10
in there. Is there any reason why we'd want to keep that account?
No. Good reason to close it out.
I think it's confusing because people know Generación Floreciente for other things besides Esperanza.
Right.
I think we have to use the two names because we have to because the Esperanza is just a DBA.
It's underneath. Oh.
So when we look the accounts, you're gonna see Generación Floreciente doing business as Esperanza.
I see.
And sometimes I've gone to the bank and said, "I'm like, I don't have any stuff with me. That's Esperanza. They can't find it." But I go, "Well, try Generación." They go, "Oh yeah, here it is." So
my only concern is if we, like, later on we're gonna need another account. That accounts have history. It's been there for years and years, so it's good to keep it, just for that reason. But
so if there's no fees for it, if we kept $10 in it, we could keep
even
it.
A penny. Yeah.
Does she have access to that account?
And then when we do pay the $6,000 back, we pay it back to that account, and then from there we reimburse her the funds.
We wouldn't have to do that either.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
We could pay her the whatever's in that account right now. We could write a check for that minus a penny. Or just write a check for that and give her that check right now, and then the balance. We could just write another check for Esperanza sometime in the future when we decide we can afford to do that. As far as I can see. So I think we could take a motion about taking the balance that's in that account and writing a check personally to Barbara that the board chooses to do that at this point in time. So,
I'll make a motion to issue a check to Barbara McCulley that was liquidating checking account less one penny, and before doing so, we get a commitment from Barbara that once she's received the full balance of approximately $6,000, she or make any claims to any further amounts beyond that.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded, as stated by...
Could you repeat that motion
okay.
again, Marty?
Yeah. I make a motion that we take the Generación.
Generación Floreciente.
Floreciente account and take all of the funds in that account, which are approximately $3,000. That leaves one penny to ensure the account remains, and issue a check to Barbara McCauley, period. For doing so, we'll ask for and receive from Barbara a commitment that this will satisfy any claim she has to, in part, to the $6,000 that she infused into the Generacion account in the first instance. Sorry.
Yeah, run.
So it's clear then that the $6,000 will be paid later, that $3,000 will be paid now.
$6,000 will be paid. This is $3,000 is the first half of that
$6,000.
No.
It's about $6,000. There was originally $8,000 in the account. Now there's about $2,500.
So that's the amount we give Barbara. So it's not quite $3,000.
Pay her up to the $6,000.
Up to, yeah.
Okay,
so what's the total amount that will be given to Barbara?
Over time, $8,500.
$8,500. That's what I understood.
Right.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah. So
let me start over.
Yeah.
Make it a lot shorter.
Yeah, thanks. And do we even need to put...
Can lawyers do it short?
I make a motion that in anticipation of paying Barbara an eventual sum of approximately $8,500.
There you go.
That the first step to that end is to send to her an amount of approximately $2,500, and from the existing Generacion account, leaving 1 cent in the account.
Give me a second. Okay. A motion has been given that we do as Marty Banks has stated. All in favor say aye. Oh, and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Very good. Thank you, Marty.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, and then we sent everyone via email the external educational research policy that Juan has drafted and given to us. Are there any questions about that?
I sent another round of an email for edits and insertions, and then Juan reviewed it and sent another email saying that he agreed with those edits and insertions.
And that's the one that has been sent.
That's the one that has been sent out.
Okay.
To all of them, yeah. Sent to.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I thought it was excellent. Great. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions, comments?
Okay, do we have a motion?
I move to adopt that policy.
The external
educational research policy.
Do I hear a second?
I second.
Okay. Motion has been extended that we approve the external educational research policy. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. And then finally, the approval of the 2014-15 school calendar. We have adjusted the calendar so that it more closely matches the Granite School District calendar.
Yeah. Her parents are going to be very happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, Shalene,
yeah.
is that?
Yes.
I ran into her at Walmart last week. She was there at the checkout, and I told her we had moved the first day of school, and she was like, yay! So, and I hardly ever go to Walmart, but she was very happy about that. So that's great. I was wondering if we could make one change, and that is on the Wednesday SEP conferences in September, that we actually make that Wednesday, Thursday. That's it. That's the only change I would make.
To more closely match it with Granite?
Well, Granite does parent conferences that whole week.
Okay.
And they differentiate. They put junior high on Monday, Tuesday. They put high schools on Wednesday, Thursday. And then they put the elementaries in between on Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay? I think we're going to have a whole lot less conflict with having us be aligned with the high school. And I think we're going to have more parents that may have kids in elementary and junior high, but very few, if any, that have elementary and high school. And for the selfish teacher in me that likes to have the next day off after two long days of conferencing, that's what teachers love. And when you have teachers come back after two long days of conferencing and try to put in another day, and I just don't think it's justified. We would rather just go ahead and have our 2 days of conference, have a Lou day on Friday. It's already set up that way for the spring conferences. I just would like to propose we switch that one day over in the September conferences. Other than that,
I don't think there's any problem with that.
Good. Okay. And so all the holidays are the same, all the short days, días cortos, are all the same. Just that one little change as far as the elementary conferences. We'll just move that over. Okay. So, do I hear a motion to accept the calendar?
I make a motion that we accept the calendar for 2014-2015 as edited with the September adjustment for the parent-teacher conferences.
Is there a second?
A second motion.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded that we approve this calendar with that one small change on SEP conferences in September. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, and then these just need to be removed.
These two.
Because they're still listed as the
old one. Temperature a little bit. I've just seen a few people start rubbing the arms and the shoulders.
Really?
I don't know.
So it's too cold.
Yeah. I think it's a little too cold. Is that?
I think some people may be cold.
Crystal
was feeling chilly because she was hot.
Yeah, break my mind. Okay.
Let's keep it over there.
It wasn't selfish, so I just noticed this start happening.
Jeff's too cold.
There we go. I was getting cold and my feet are cold. I'm wearing sandals and I'm
here's the toilet paper.
I noticed that.
I thought you already had your baby.
Okay. I don't see a parent representative here from our PTO. So, I don't know if anybody has talked to them or know of anything they want to bring up. Okay. Who has access, I guess, to... What's the proper channel for letting them know about our calendar change?
I think, and I've been telling them, that it will be published on our website eventually, that it needs to be updated, and that we will have printouts, because a lot of parents want printouts on the 12th of August.
Okay.
They want to see the uniform. Mm-hmm. They want to see visuals.
Right, the website.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me contact Felice.
Okay.
And is that something that has been communicated or will be communicated just en masse to all the people that signed up?
Right now I've been only telling parents who ask me where can I see the uniform, so I've been trying to give samples of my blind vision of what I've heard parents that are telling me, oh, I found polos at Old Navy. So if anybody comes, I'm like, oh, you can visit Old Navy. Some parents have been going there. Or go wherever you can find something at your expense.
You can ask the parents to give us a copy, a hard copy in color,
of the items that they brought to the second parent meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have them in a plastic pocket.
Yes.
So you can show them right there. These are the, you know,
good
the songs
idea.
You have. We're not like
yeah.
this
right.
in the uniform. These are the choices
yeah.
and where to buy it.
Because right now what we've been telling you is green, yellow, white.
Yeah, it's hard to describe
and
because there are so many shades
yeah.
of green.
Yeah.
And so
but
when they show
them,
it in the meeting, it was visual to the parents and they said, ah, okay, I know what you're talking
about. Tell them just look out the window.
Yeah.
Match the building.
We'll be fine.
Somewhere along that line would be great.
Just
yeah,
going to
the
our
just
right khaki
there.
And
black.
Black. And for shoes?
Black, brown, and white.
Solid. No
solid.
Wheels, no lights.
Yeah.
I guess I feel like we ought to advise just the whole school community to change the calendar.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like in one of those newsletter things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Just so
yeah.
it
yeah.
doesn't matter if they're officially registered and all the paperwork's in.
Just everybody.
Just everybody that's on our list that's interested in school, just so they know we've changed the calendar.
And I like a uniform policy, but I mean, it will be
the
administration, but I mean, the first year maybe we can be a little flexible because some families are maybe will be enrolling the last minute. I mean, we want to enforce the uniform, but it might take up some time for some families to adjust, I mean, economic situations and things like that. So I hear sometimes other stories of like, very bad stories about kids feeling very undermined and very depreciated, so we don't want them to.
Well, they can give it like a couple months.
Yeah.
To get it dusted. And even the school can have extra ones when the kids are coming with a uniform. They can come in for the uniform.
Yeah,
and at the end of the day, you know, maybe they can take it home and then change it, you know. And
the invitation of policy.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then, yeah. And then the school
determines
I like it.
Yes. Good idea.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is our Zions Bank credit application. So, Marlon, we already
that.
Talked about
yeah,
that.
So I'm
okay.
going to start working on that. I'm looking for some financial statements. And so I should have something within 2 weeks.
Great.
So, Marlon's been great about,
yeah.
you know, we let him know that we could use a line of credit to help us bridge some shortfalls at the beginning. He's ramrodded it through the bank. And so thank you
very
for
good.
Doing that.
Very good. Okay, I was on the GBOT site today. I took tests 14 and 15. They weren't too bad. So if you need a reminder of what your login information is, mine is just Jay Christensen. Yours is probably the same, you know, your first initial, last name. Username, Jay Christensen, password, Jay Christensen. That's how I get in. And you go through and do the modules, take the test afterwards. They go pretty fast, and it really helps you kind of understand what it is we're doing here. So I encourage you to do those. Any questions on that? The West Valley Recreation Center services. This was an assignment that I had to check on after-school programs that they do. They actually have vans and that go around to the different schools, but they said those vans are just absolutely full. They know where our school is. Unless we started at 2:45, ended at 2:45 or at 4 o'clock, they are not able to come and include us in their routes. But I do have a whole case, and I meant to bring them in with me. It's kind of heavy. Of their flyers, of their programs, and if parents want to carpool and find their own way to get the kids over there, they have all kinds of after-school programs that the kids are welcome to participate in. So we can have those at our back-to-school night, information for parents that they are certainly welcome to participate in those programs, but the rec center is not able to furnish any transportation for us. Unless we change our ending time. And then they could, but 2:45 or 4 o'clock, those are the options. So.
I don't think we can do that now.
And we end at what time, 3:15?
3.
3 o'clock?
difference from 2:45, but
yeah.
Good for you. Yeah.
It's a lot of people to change.
3 o'clock then. You know, I was thinking it was like 3:10 or 3:15. I might call him one more time and just say,
what time do we
look
start?
At this again.
What time does school start?
8. The first bell is at 8:15. Classes start at 8:20.
8:20 to 3 o'clock. So that's the end of the school day. Bell rings at 3 o'clock. Okay. And then, Steve, would you tell us about the grandma request?
Okay, hold on. Going back to this,
oh.
If we start at 8 a.m. and finish 2:45, is that a bit very, very bad for parents?
I think if there's an after-school program, right, they wouldn't mind, they wouldn't care as long as the child is somewhere they know.
Right.
Because a lot of them have been kind of requesting child care services.
Yeah.
Okay,
so then it would be good because they would be able to be transported to the West Valley Regional Center
but
Services.
But they are looking for... Green. So I don't know how the West Valley works.
Is it, how much is it?
I don't know.
Okay. What about the after school program with these people, the folks? Do you remember that we met with?
They don't have any funding. They want to do a pilot program one day a week.
Okay.
Yeah, the rec center is not free. I'm just not sure what the cost is.
In the future, we definitely want to write some grants with Julia for
the CLC.
Yeah, but at this point, we're telling them we don't have any after-school program for child
care. That is set, because I do ask, but we do tell them that right now we're going to have different activities, but on different days. So it's different clubs.
Right, so they can't count on it for
child
care, for work.
And we tell them that.
So my thought on that is that, well, and it really shouldn't be child care anyway, but... Starting at 8, usually for working parents, is better than 8:15, and you'll have parents dropping their kids off as early as 7:15 anyway,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to drop them off in the playground to take care of themselves until school starts if they have to go to work. So moving the start time up doesn't seem like a terrible idea to me if it made it so that, and I think they would pay for they want free aftercare, but if they're working and they have to have their child in care, they will pay for it. And if it's sliding scale or something, that's just worth, because they're not going to do it, I don't think, if with the carpool option. And most of the parents that need this, it's because they're working.
They're not going to take them.
Right.
And we don't have any idea what the cost is over there. And they will send transportation?
Yeah, they do pickups at a lot of the area elementary schools. But, you know, I think if we had, like, 150 or 200 kids, they couldn't accommodate that many. I'm thinking there, you know, there's a handful of 20 or 30 kids that they can accommodate. So I don't think parents can just say, oh, Esperanza has an after-school program, but, you know, it's they combine with the rec center and they're not equipped to do that. But they did indicate that they're not really limited in the number of kids they can accept. It's the transportation.
Well, if it helps 30 kids for that, for this reason, then I don't know, maybe we can do more research, but I don't see that moving it to it would be a terrible idea either. Sometimes.
I'm not opposed at all. If the board wants to do that, I'm not opposed.
I think there needs to be more research to see if
yeah.
it would make a difference for the rec center to have.
Can we vote about it? I mean, about this via email, because we cannot wait until the next board meeting.
That's
it would
true.
Be too late.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a way we can vote via email once we have this information?
Okay.
What do
so
you think?
We're thinking that maybe adjusting our starting and end time.
Right, 15 minutes. 8 to 2:45.
Okay.
Is that my only other question about that is who's going to speak to Shalene soon? Was it you?
I am.
Well, if Granite Schools, what their start times are, will also affect that. If you're dropping off
don't different
kids.
Schools have different start times?
They all do.
It's not a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah. They all do.
We just have to make sure that we have the right amount of minutes.
Exactly.
For the whole school year. It has to add up
to the right amount of minutes.
And I think, do you guys do that with a previous?
We did the calculation, so if we're just
moving
15
minutes,
forward 15 minutes. And
yeah, there should be no difference.
It's a wash.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
But this is, I mean, I'm saying this.
Start at 8.
Instead of
8:15,
we start at 8.
That's right.
If it does help with the most valuable recreation center service, otherwise, there's no point.
Yeah, there's no reason to change unless it's going to help parents and kids.
Right.
So class time would be 8:15 instead of 8:20. All right.
Well, it will start 8 and then 8 or 5,
eight,
right?
The first bell is 8,
eight
yeah,
and then
it will be 8 or 5. 8
or 5.
Okay. That's early for elementary kids.
So, I don't know that that needs a board vote. So, if you find out, I mean, what do we need to find out? That the rec center...
Then it'll be up to administration.
At 2:45?
Yeah, they said if our ending time was at 2:45, they could provide... transportation. They didn't tell me for how many.
Yeah, that's what we need to know.
That's what
yeah.
we need to know.
If it's for
how
like five
many?
Kids.
So yeah, give that information to Eulogio and then you guys decide.
Okay.
All right.
We'll make that decision.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely early for our
elementary. Yeah.
Oh, it's easier. Elementary school children, it's easier for their brains. It's high school kids that should be starting later.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. True.
No, I taught high school. I agree totally with you.
They should
not even
should
7:30 is not a good
no,
time.
No,
10
o'clock
listen.
In the morning.
Research
is
pouring that up for years, but they will not change
They won't change it. But elementary school kids are fine at 8 a.m.
Research bears that out.
Yeah.
Get the high schoolers a function higher.
Function higher, later start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not convenient for educators and other people, so we just leave it like that. First periods
We've
are really hard
done it
to
that
teach.
Way.
Yep, it's
just
tradition.
Not want to
change,
yeah.
You want to talk about grandma?
Yes.
Yeah, grandma.
I just give an overview to the board. It's just that all the charter schools in the state got
150 names. So.
Salt Lake Trib.
150 names were on the list too.
Wow. Okay. Salt Lake Trib wants copies of contracts with management companies. And if your charter school is contract with a management company, they want to see the contract. Our grandma policy is that we will provide a copy of the requested record or denial of the request. With the reasons for denial within 10 business days. So, Marty, you had some feelings about
that. Yeah, a couple thoughts about that. Because I don't want to see ghosts, I don't want to be paranoid. But I'm imagining that if 150 letters went out, that if that reporter gets responses from a small fraction of those, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, she or he will be happy, write the article, and our school won't be front and center or cited in the newspaper. If she gets, and my guess is that only a small fraction of those schools will reply. My feeling is that we gotta just sit this out for a while. If we get a follow-up request from that reporter, then we got a harder decision to make whether or not we want to respond. My guess is we won't, because she'll probably get enough feedback from other schools to write her article. And if we sort of stay on the sidelines and hide in the weeds for the time being, then we eliminate the risk in our first year of being front and center in some nasty article. And if she writes back to us and says, hey, you're breaking the law, you're requiring the grandma to provide this stuff, then maybe we give her the article. I mean, then maybe we give her our report. But I think even then we could supply a credible defense saying, our policy and the law requires us to provide school records. We don't really consider a management contract to be school records. That's more a function that's not really a core school record. That may or may not fly, but whether it flies or not is not the issue. That may put them off. That may appease them. They may say to themselves, let's not bother. Let's not waste our time chasing down a management contract from Esperanza. So I think we should hide the weeds, lay in the weeds for a while.
Do we have a management contract?
I have a couple of thoughts on that. One, we have to respond in 10 days with a denial. So
according to our policy.
According to our policy.
Not according to any law.
No, but that's our policy, so we need to follow our policy.
Well, if you want me to reply to that.
Sure.
I think that there could be all, we have all kinds of policies. Now, we don't want to be in the business of skirting our own policy. If we're doing it to hide or conceal or defraud or take advantage of anybody here. This is a reporter looking for some material to write an article. If we decide not to bother to respond to her, not to be distracted by that, I don't think we need to feel reckless or irresponsible in disregarding our policy. Now, I understand that there's all kinds of good reasons for being strict about adhering to our own policies that are the conscientious design of what we thought would be best. But there are also some circumstances that might warrant something less than an immediate and letter of the law compliance with a policy. You were going to say something beyond that, though.
A couple of things. One is to your question. I think it's debatable whether it's a management policy, number one.
Yeah, what is the contract you're discussing that
we're talking about Red Apple's
Red Apple, I don't
policy
think
or agreement. So I don't know. I mean, I think what they're looking at is an academic or West.
I think they are too.
Oh.
I think Red Apple's professional services contract, not a management contract.
And we've worked pretty hard to actually not be a management contract.
Right.
So
okay.
We,
I don't think it applies.
We just, we're a vendor, I hate saying that word, but in this context, we're a vendor that handles the business services for the school. We just handle the reports to the state, but we don't perform any management duties. We don't make decisions on behalf of the school. We don't hire and fire. We don't.
Academica West practically owns the schools they manage. It's very different.
That's what we think. I'm very confident that the reporter and or his attorney would say, well, of course that's a management contract. They're providing you managerial oversight. Well, they're going to say, what's this if not a management contract? Giving you feedback, guidance, counsel on what kind of ratios you ought to have? And we might win that argument. We may not. We might. The point is, let's not get in that fight. Let's just not respond. And if they bark up our tree again, then we play the card. We've got a couple of cards, but we don't think that's a record. If they come back again, we say, we don't think this professional services arrangement is a management contract. And we manage ourselves. These guys give us.
They don't hire anyone here. They don't.
Anyway.
On our policy for response, did our policy say that we were going to respond directly to that person's request, or is a response us discussing this in our meeting and making a decision?
Respond to the reply.
Right. That's
no. It's a policy to respond to the grandma request.
If Esperanza receives a written grammar request, we will provide a copy of the requested record or denial of the request with the reason for the denial within 10 days. So that's what our policy says. The other thing is, I'm guessing what they're going after is all this stuff about Harmony. You guys know about that? The company that's... it's been in the news.
That's what it's for.
I'm sure that's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Or they could be looking at, Academica West kind of management, where they're charging $400 per student, which is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be looking at that.
And takes away from
this. I guess my sense is I've got nothing to hide. We have a choice. We hire an in-house business manager who we would pay at least $50,000 plus another 30% in benefits. That salary plus benefits would cost this organization more than the fee we're paying to Red Apple to provide that same service that we'd ask of our own in-house business.
But the damage is not whether we win that argument or not. The damage is seeing ourselves in the newspaper.
Right. On the list of people who have a company.
Yeah. So if we... I'm just concerned if we don't respond and we really violated our own policy. I don't know who's watchdogging that.
Well, there is no watchdog. Those are discretionary policies that we've self-imposed. Nobody else has the prerogative to force our policies upon us. With a couple of exceptions, for example, if we have some safety policies, OSHA can come back and say, you violated not only OSHA law, but your own policy, and we have a law that says thou shalt, we have a law that says a company can't violate its own internal policies for safety reasons, and the same can be true of some limited environmental regulations. But this is different. This is neither environmental, it's not safety, health, or welfare. This is internal administrative.
So you're saying let's just ignore this?
No, I'm saying for the time being,
Can I ask, is Red Apple, are you line item 350?
I thought it was Jeff.
In your expenses, if you're line item 350, then you're listed in our budget as business manager services under professional services contract.
No, I'm not saying we make the conscientious decision here to ignore our policy. I'm saying that we do make a conscientious decision to look the other way on the 10-day requirement. And put off for another day if we get pestered by the reporter again, whether we want to go to the hassle and postpone ourselves the distraction of having to respond to a grant or a request.
Okay, so then this, so our auditor, when we got audited, we didn't have a grandma policy. So now we have one. The State Charter School Board wanted to make sure that we had that policy in place. So now what if the Salt Lake Trib goes to the State Charter School Board and says, here's the list of people who did not respond to our grammar request. And the State Charter School Board says, may we see your policy? You said you'd respond in 10 days. We haven't done it. I mean, where do we go with that?
That's an interesting sort of academic theoretical discussion.
I think as a practical matter, long before the paper would go to the state board, they would pester us again, say, come on, we asked you. And then we'd probably have some more motivation to give it over to them. I mean, I don't like the idea of disregarding our own policy, especially when it was crafted by us, self-imposed by us, rather than external. Not a good idea. Policy is a good thing. Barring exceptional circumstances, you gotta comply with them. I think this is one circumstance where, and I don't mean to make, I'm probably overstating this. Maybe we gotta just turn it over and hope that we're not in the newspaper. I think that the odds of if we're managing risks here, I think the odds of our decision to disregard the 10-day limit and put on hold for until we get bugged again by then, it weighs a little more favorable than the risk that we would get clubbed over the head by the board for not adhering to our 10-day policy, especially if we hadn't been approached a second time as a follow-up pestering call from the reporter.
But, if folks feel strongly the other way, I don't mean to suggest this is a huge, gigantic, that there's only one answer here. It's just what I would do.
Isn't it, could we respond with the idea that you talked about bit ago about it being unclear whether or not what they're defining in this is something we have that we can even respond to?
That would certainly be better, in my opinion, than simply as a first measure handing over the document.
That's what I like
that
too.
Idea.
Why not?
So someone says, hey, you haven't responded to us. We don't have a management
policy. We don't have one.
Anything we consider a management policy.
It is listed, 350 line item is listed business manager services, but we say it's professional services limited to financials. They're not running the education. Academic OS and those other organizations, they run your special ed programs for you. They do hot teacher hiring. They write your contracts for you. Yeah. Well, see, so this is really different what we have.
Yeah, very different.
So our response is that we respond to them and that we need clarification. Because we don't think have what they're asking.
I think I would just not respond. And if they ask, someone says, ask again, say, well,
we don't have it.
We don't have a management contract. No one manages us except our board and our executive.
Red Apple's more like an accounting service that provides us with information.
It's no different than the people that clean the building. for us.
Professional service.
And
thereafter.
Hey,
don't insult the building
contractors
either.
I turned my boss out as long as I get my paycheck. I don't care what you sign me to have.
But see, in the charter school, business manager means you're not involved with education. You're just the money person.
Yeah. Right.
You're just doing the money part of it. It's not, you're not managing the educational services.
Right. So,
advisors.
In order to follow our policy with this new idea, do we need to do any action?
Well, I would say no.
Okay.
Because we're saying that
doesn't
we don't
apply
have
to
a contract to manage the school.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We do not have a contact number.
Come talk to me, they'll realize in 2 seconds I can't. So.
Like teachersteachers.com, when you go on there, there are listings for teaching openings and administrator openings and everything. It's Academica West has like hundreds of listings, and it's for schools all over the valley. So they're actually running schools. It's very different.
We don't have that.
Good discussion. I feel,
okay.
Does everyone feel comfortable with just not responding?
Yes.
100%.
Yes. If I get a second one, I will call you.
And the discussion is helpful for how we respond to the second one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's good to have a lawyer.
Hey, I've never heard that in my life. Small pittance for that. Salt is daily heaped upon us.
That's amazingly awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, before we adjourn this meeting, I'd like to thank everybody for being here tonight, and I'd like to acknowledge that this is Juan's last time with us. He is moving next week to New Mexico to accept a position as a professor at, tell me again the name of the university?
New Mexico State University.
New Mexico State University. And so after we adjourn the meeting, for any that can and would like to join us, we're just going to hop over to Meaders and have some refreshments.
Where, first my memory, is that in?
Las Cruces.
Las Cruces.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He will be
in
touch with our school. He offered to serve on the advisory committee, and so we will be communicating with him. He's offered to provide some training for our teachers, so we will take him up on it. So he's not gone.
Physically gone,
but connected.
Yeah.
Juan, you need to open your desk.
Okay.
One, the little one represents Esperanza. The bigger one represents your new life. So if you'll...
So start with Esperanza and then go to my new life.
Yeah, you're making the transition. U.S. style, you open it now.
Okay.
U.S. style, yeah. And you'll know why this is my card.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
Perdona, speaking.
Adelante.
Gabri?
Perfect.
Sí, pero estoy todavía en la reunión. Déjame un momentito más.
Yes,
yes, yes.
Okay.
Ah, te hago con para avisar,
okay? Good. Thank you. Like, I'm going to hang it in my office.
Yeah.
The university.
That's the start.
We all know about
the
experience of the star, the five fish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the five fish.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Very great.
Yeah, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Marlon.
Thank you, Marlon.
It's a family in Alaska that makes them. A family in Alaska that makes those, the starfish.
What
I got it. There's a family in Alaska,
oh,
and
really?
That's their business is to make these out of this metal, and that's why they're
cute. But it's also
awesome.
I like it.
It's pretty cool.
You know, five of them
for
me.
Ah. The baby that is coming, because we're having a baby. It's just going to be the fifth member of our family, too.
Yeah.
It matches. Magically.
That's great. But Barbara really had a liking to the poem of the starfish and that every starfish counts.
Yeah.
So every time you see the starfish, you'll think of Esperanza. And
yep.
All these
Barbara.
Kids are counting because you were putting them back in.
Oh, going back to the
yeah.
sheep.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I know that. That poem. Yeah.
That's right. It matters to that one.
Matters to
yeah.
that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll matter to the students that you get to teach at the
yes.
university.
Mm-hmm. Cuentos. They are from the Hispanic
oh.
Southwest.
And he is going to be doing literacy. So, as a very culturally responsive teacher, he is going to make sure he includes the stories of the people he's going to be working
yeah.
with. So.
Great, like it. Look at the house. here. Doesn't it look like the school here?
Yeah.
Southwest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be teaching literacy, that's right, in the Southwest area.
Yep, and these stories come from the people themselves. Mm-hmm. This is actually, they keep this in their museum there. There's a series of books that they've been trying to collect, all the stories of the people.
Yeah. I like Bless Me Ultima. I went to the movie.
Bless Me Ultima.
Bilingual stories in Spanish and English. Yeah, I'm going to make sure that my students at the university
understand
this and
develop
this, perpetuate this cultural responsive.
Are we missing for expanding the
card? I think everybody has got the card.
I can't even
remember.
No, pretend.
Okay.
We're so proud of you, Juan.
Thank you very much, everyone. Juan, yeah, thank you so much, Juan, for everything.
Oh, really?
So,
meet
you
at
8:45.